Thanks, Robin. My name is Peter, and I'm one of the assistant ministers here at North Mead. Keep your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians 12, and you can follow along in your handouts if you have one. If you're watching online, you can download it as well. Now, one of the challenges of today's passage, preaching from today's passage, is that it is very familiar to many of us, especially if we have been Christians for a very long time. I think it's safe to say that we have all heard it before. This passage tells us that we are many but different, but yet in our difference we are one, united in Christ. So my challenge today is that if I cannot engage with you, you will simply doze off and switch off. Figuratively, if you are here, or literally, if you are watching at home. Let me pray. Father God, as we come to look at your word, may you be with us. Open our hearts to receive your word, that we may also learn from you and act according to your word. Amen. So last week we heard that the triune God is at work in us and with us. We have the same Lord Jesus, the same God works in us, and the same Spirit is active and distributing gifts to each and every one of us. Today's passage helps us understand how we fit into the body of Christ. Today's passage talks about the relationship between the diverse members and what it means to all of us to be in the body of Christ. So verse 12 starts with it. It says, "For just as one body, as the body is one that has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ." In other words, the church does not function as a collection of separate individuals. The church is to be complementary. That is, each individual member brings something to the table, and that the others bring everyone together and our needs and our prayers, and it's enhanced by that interdependence. God's church is a community of complementary interdependence. That is so counterculture. We do not like the idea of being dependent. It makes us sound weak. It makes us sound defective. We all love our independence. We take pride in our self-sufficiency and our autonomy. But what Paul says here is that the body of Christ, though it has many parts, we all work together as one body. Verse 13 has quite a few exegetical problems. First, it has to do with whether we are baptized by the Spirit or in one Spirit. Our church Bible, the CSV and the NIV, translates the first clause of verse 13 as we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Whereas the ESV and the NAB translates it as in one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Does it make any difference, you say? I think it does. The New Testament was written in Greek, and in the original Greek, the Greek preposition in this clause is typically translated as in. By translating it as by, it causes problems, because it implies that the Spirit is the agent of baptism. If this is the case, then this makes this verse the only instance in the New Testament where this is so. In the other six accounts of baptism in the Gospels and Acts, Jesus is the agent and the Spirit is the medium or the element into which all believers are baptized. Our other problem is that the Pentecostal interpretation asserts that verse 13 is a two-stage initiation into Christ. Regeneration followed by the baptism by the Spirit. However, if we look into the context of this verse, Paul's emphasis is the work of one Spirit. The purpose of our common experience of the Spirit is that we are formed into one body. From Ephesians, Paul tells us that conversion is a universal experience started and established by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1 says, "In him you were also sealed with the promised Holy Spirit when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed. The Holy Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the possession to the praise of his glory." In other words, the Holy Spirit is given to us, is in us, at our conversion. John 16, verse 13 tells us, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth." The Spirit is there to guide us, to teach us. So there cannot be any legitimate reason for a two-stage initiation into Christ. The second clause of verse 13 also presents another exegetical problem. What did Paul mean when he says that we were all given one Spirit to drink? The difficulty comes if we read the two clauses separately. But instead, the two clauses should be read in parallel. Again, if I refer you to the original Greek, and you find it in your handouts, it literally reads as, "For in one Spirit we all into one body were baptized." That's the first clause. The second clause literally reads as, "And in one Spirit were made to drink." So as you can see, Paul's emphasis is not on the activity of baptism, but the one Spirit. The one Spirit is repeated in both clauses. And in the context of the passage, this is Paul's emphasis for the oneness we have in Christ. We often mistaken baptism with the ritual of water baptism. But the word baptized can be translated as immerse or overwhelm. And I think it's a better fit in this context. Also, the prophet Joel, in Joel chapter 2, prophesied that God will pour out his Spirit on all humanity. So when you put it all together, you have the image that as God pours out his Spirit on us, we are overwhelmed and drenched. So in context then, this verse does not point to a special experience beyond conversion. But it is our common experience of being brought together into the body of Christ at our conversion. Okay. Staying with verse 13, it's going to be a long day. Let's look at the parenthesis parts between these clauses. It says here, "Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free." These are two basic distinctions that discriminates people back in Paul's time and even today in our society. Race and religion and social economic status. In Christ, we know that it's neither Jew nor Greek. In Christ, these distinctions have been removed, not in the sense that there are no longer Jewish people or Greek people, but that these distinctions mean nothing at all to God. You don't need to be a genius to tell that there are obvious differences between you and me. Even though I've lived in Australia for 40-odd years, you can still tell I'm distinctly Chinese. I speak with a distinct accent, and people still think I'm only in my 40s. I have my ancient ageless genes. But that's more than just skin color and ethnicity. We all have different gifts. We have different likes and dislikes. We have different behaviors. Our cultural heritage, our social background influence us. Our ethnicities, our cultural heritage, gender, social standings, age, physical disabilities are of no significance at all to our membership into the body of Christ. In Christ, we are one. In Christ, He has abolished all discrimination. But this does not mean that we have to act the same. Does not mean that we have to like the same food, sing the same songs, be for common demographics or culture. Our unity does not mean uniformity. We are not a homogeneous church. Homogeneous churches exist because they cannot cater for the diversity. Instead, our diversity in unity is a powerful demonstration in today's world of God's age-long purpose to bring all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. We are all individuals, yet in our individuality, we come together and work together. From the first Bible reading from Ephesians 4 verse 3 reminds us to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. If you have noticed, Paul says that the unity already exists. We do not have to establish it. The unity is already there because of Christ's sacrificial work of reconciliation. Because of Christ, we have the unity. We are united despite our diversity. So Paul is encouraging us to work hard to make every effort to keep this unity because Satan is out to destroy it. So my friends, we celebrate our diversity. We celebrate our individualities. But we differentiate between individuality and individualism. Okay, let me repeat that. We differentiate between individuality and individualism. Individualism promotes independence, and it fuels our drive to self-sufficiency and autonomy, and it destroys the community. Instead, we celebrate and we recognize our diversity. That's what Paul tells us in verse 14. Verse 14 says, "Indeed, the body is not one part, but many." Verses 15 to 20 emphasizes this diversity. Imagine if the eyes and the ears could speak. There would be no need for the mouth. Paul is not arguing here that the eyes or the ears wants to be an eye or the foot wants to be a hand. There's no hint of any disquiet desire to be something else. It's more of a case that the parts think they do not really belong to the body. Paul argues that that's just ludicrous, and I'm sure we all would agree with that. There's also no suggestion that the eyes or hands are more superior or more important. It comes down to our own perception that we do not contribute anything to the well-being of the body or that we are excluded. We feel that we are not valued and don't get the praises or acknowledgements that others do. How many times have you heard the eyes being commended? No one tells me that, but people say, "Your eyes are beautiful. You know, you have the most angelic eyes I've ever seen." On the other hand, when was the last time you heard anyone praise the ears? I've not heard anyone say to me or anyone, "You have the most exquisite ears." It's our sinfulness that causes us to be envious and desiring different gifts. We don't feel like we belong to the body. We feel like outsiders. Nobody will notice or care if we are not around. I used to play the violin and a few harmonic orchestra. The violins were the most significant instruments in an orchestra, and they're always positioned right in front. I've always felt sorry for the percussionists, right? Especially those playing the cymbals, or worse, the triangle. Right? They tucked away way back at the orchestra, and it's usually a long time between gigs. Yeah, waiting patiently to play that one or two bars. Imagine if the cymbalist decided that he doesn't want to be part of the orchestra anymore. Imagine the music, take Tchaikovsky's 1812 overture. Imagine the music's on the crescendo to its climax. It's the moment of the loud clanging of cymbals. Instead of the deafening noise, nothing. A void. It's a fizzler. Right. The performance and the orchestra is incomplete. So the cymbals are just as important as the violins, even though the violins hog the limelight all the time. Verse 18 tells us that God has arranged each of the parts in the body just as he wanted. God has arranged the parts just as he wanted. So who are we to say we don't belong to the body? If we deny our place or anyone else's place in the body, we are insulting God's wisdom. We are insulting his sovereign design. Each one of us play an important role in the church. Our very presence is an encouragement to one another. Each one of us is unique. Each one of us is distinctive, irreplaceable, unrepeatable. This is the glory of the church as the body of Christ. From verses 21 to 26, Paul turns his attention to unity. Verse 21, Paul says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or again, the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. The focus now shifts the attention to members who question the need for some parts of the body. This could be from a sense of superiority, driven by individualistic, self-sufficient autonomy. Notice that the parts are mistakenly perceived to be dispensable, and is described as weaker, less honorable, unrespectable. But God has designed this body. God has put the body together. Every part is important to God. No part of the body is dispensable. Otherwise, some functions of the body will be missing, and the body will be incomplete, crippled, and disabled. So the question I have for everyone is, do we believe our place in this body called North Mead Anglican Church, do we believe that our parts are as arranged by God? God has placed us into this body to look out for one another, to care for one another. If we don't feel like we belong to the church, the Bible assures us that we belong to the body. We are united in the Spirit. We are in spiritual solidarity with fellow believers. Not just in this church, but with a worldwide community of believers. You are not a lone ranger. If you think that you do not have anything to contribute, the Bible says God, every one of us, has a God-ordained function to play in the church. During this pandemic, The church is hurting. The church is suffering. Even though we've been gathering physically for quite a while now, we are hurting because not all the parts of the body are present. Quite a number of our parts are missing. I'm not trying to make those who are watching online feel bad or guilty. Please do not misunderstand me. If you are considered vulnerable, or if you have health issues, please stay home. We encourage you to be safe, to stay home, and we want to make sure that you're well cared for. But some of us have grown comfortable watching church online. It's easier, it's more convenient, it's cozier, and it's more relaxing at home. Despite the relaxations of restrictions and despite the decreasing number of cases, we are still missing parts in this body of Christ. You may think that you do not contribute anything by being in church physically. You seemingly cannot participate because we cannot sing, and it's too hard to sit for an hour. Hebrews 10 reminds us. It says, let us consider one another in order to provoke to love and good works, not neglecting to gather together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So the writer of Hebrews tells us not to neglect gathering together. In our gathering, we encourage one another with our fellowship, even by our mere presence. It is not true that no one misses you. The incomplete body of Christ misses you, and we are hurting. Let me put it another way. Imagine if the body was an engine. Some of us are the banks of cylinders that form the V12 body. Some of us are the precision-engineered pistons. Some are components that is used to assemble the high-tech ignition and exhaust systems. We are a well-oiled, high-performance engine. Now imagine you are the oil drain plug. Right? If you are unseen, insignificant, cheap, and nobody thinks you're important or notices you. You're just an oil drain plug. Now imagine if you're missing. How long do you think the engine will run before it disintegrates? Right. You are but an oil drain plug. Every part of the body is important because God has placed us here. Our very presence tells everyone that even though we are many parts, we are together as one body. And as one body, we stand together. Sorry, with COVID restrictions, we sit socially distanced, but we are united in one spirit. So my friends, is your body missing? Is your part missing from this body? As Paul says, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. In the body of Christ, there are many roles, there are many ministries. Verse 28 tells us that God has appointed this in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, next miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, leading, various kinds of tongues. I'm not going to go through each of this in details. But why do you think that Paul actually ranked the first three in the list? Why do you think Paul says first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, but he doesn't rank the rest? Look up Ephesians 2, reading from verses 19. Paul writes, "So then you are no longer foreigners or strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him the whole building, being put together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also, being built together for God's dwelling in the Spirit." So it is because these ministries are the critical foundation upon which the church is built, with Christ as the cornerstone. Further in chapter 4, Paul says that they equip the body of Christ. They are charged to instruct us on God's way. Reading from verse 11, Paul says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the works of ministry, to build up the body of Christ." The word of God is like pure milk that feeds us in our Christian infancy. And it is the solid food that continues to nourish us as we grow in maturity. Without God's word, without teaching from God's word, the church is like a rotary club. So the remaining list in verse 28 are ministries, but they're not exhaustive, nor are they ranked according to their importance or priorities. If you compare the list in verse 28 with the list in verse 8, you notice that miracles and healings are flipped. They are in reverse orders. And helping and leading are not in the former list. So this suggests that the list is not in any priority or and not exhaustive. But an important point to take out of this is that it's the one Spirit that is active in all of this, distributing gifts to each one as he wills. So we are many parts, but one body. And there's no such thing as a lone ranger in the church. As different as distinctive parts, we complement each other. We challenge each other. We comfort each other. We encourage and care for each other. And we pray for each other. So within the context of the body of Christ, we find our Christian identity, our ministry to one another, our growth, and our support. The church is where each of us is needed, and each of us brings our needs. This is what we all have in common, and this is the basis of our unity. Most importantly, God has so designed and arranged his body. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the privilege of knowing you. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us together, though we are diverse and different, but you have called us to form this body of Christ here. Help us, O Lord, to take our role seriously, and help us, O Lord, to realize that you have so arranged us. May we play our parts, that this body of Christ may advance your gospel to the community around us. Amen.